Hey, flight fans. My name is Dwayne Feenstra. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
Hi, I'm Mikey. I'm from the Force Majeure podcast. My pronouns are his and him. I play Perry, the heavily modified WED-15 Treadwell droid, who is a pilot with an ace specialization. Perry's pronouns are they and them.
Hello, everybody. Great to be here. My name is Adam, and you might know me better from the Force Majeure podcast. My pronouns are he and him. And for this arc, I will be playing Pip, the astromech mechanic. And Pip's pronouns are also he and him.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode.
Astromech Pip and Repair Droid Perry find themselves in a perilous predicament. These pair of pals have found themselves kidnapped away with no help in sight. How will these mechanical marvels make their escape? Or will they be set for a life of servitude?
Welcome back, gentle listeners, to a very special Flight Risk episode. In this, our Group B story, this season we're doing something a little different. We're bringing in guest stars to fill in since we have the core four all participating in one massive story. And this time we're going on a little fun droid adventures with two of my favorite players from like the other side of the planet. Thank you, Internet. I have from Force Majeure, I have Adam and Mikey. How you doing, guys?
Yeah.
Very well.
Pretty good. Thank you. Yep. Good to meet you. How are you doing? Nice to meet you properly.
It's like nice to see you guys in person. We've been talking online for like 2 years and like, hey, you have faces and stuff.
Terrifying faces.
Terrifying faces.
Well, you know, you could have been droids the whole time and I would not have known. I mean, I wouldn't judge if you were robots. You know, I love all peoples. So before we get into our story, why don't you guys give our listeners, and if they have not listened to Force Majeure, shame on all of you, but give the listeners a quick little 411 on what the Force Majeure is.
So yeah, so Force Majeure, which is the show that me and Mikey are in, we are a Force and Destiny actual play podcast. We are British, as you may have gathered from our salubrious accents. We have two campaigns running in a similar fashion to Flight Risk, but in a slightly different method to Flight Risk. We alternate campaigns by season because otherwise I get far too easily confused as to what's going on. So seasons 1 and 3 is a campaign that I'm running called The Coldfire Chronicles, which follows a group of Imperial prisoners escaping from the ice moon where they've been imprisoned and going off attempting to escape the Inquisitor that's hunting them down. And the other campaign is called The Shadows of the Jedi, and I get to play in that one, and that is set on the world of Kenobale, which is right out on the Outer Rim. And Kenobale is one of these worlds where empires have risen and fallen, a bit like Swamp Castle from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And
yes,
there is a whole culture of scavengers that have grown on the bones of these fallen empires and in these ruins. And a group of misfits scratching out a living in one of the scavenger cities there come across an Imperial plot that will have ramifications, not just for Kenobale, but for that entire part of the galaxy. And Mikey is a player on both of those seasons.
I am, yeah. I fortunately only get to GM in mid-season breaks where we are a little bit more weird.
Hey, the Tiny Tychus adventures are must-listens. I'm sorry, those were amazing.
They are. That's not a Force and Destiny campaign. That's a campaign which was that's a system we made up on the fly, pretty much, and was a lot of fun to run. I tend to base a lot of my things on 1980s blockbuster movies, to be honest. So we had an entire thing based on The Goonies, which was nice.
Well, weird stuff is what we do all the time here on Flight Risk. We don't do anything sane or normal here. So go ahead and let your freak flags fly today, guys. This is going to be a fun time. So as I mentioned, we are doing our droid adventures. And if you listen to Flight Risk, you know we have two favorite droids of ours. We have Pip the Astromech and Perry the Repair Droid / Pilot. Adam is going to be playing Pip and Mikey is going to be playing Perry. So this story is taking place about 6 months or so after the end of our season, as I count, 4, that we just ended with the battle on Mandalore. We know that that story ends with Pip heroically sacrificing himself to save Bail by taking basically a thermal grenade to the face and saves his partner, his friend, his hero, and Bail's able to get the pieces and get him repaired, and it's taken this long for Perry and Pip to get fixed up, modded up, and all that kind of stuff. And this is going to be them waking up. Our adventure begins with a nice pulled back shot of a lonely freighter just drifting out there in space. It's a nondescript, very plain, for a very specific purpose. This freighter is for smuggling. And what this crew is smuggling today is stolen droids. Our camera zooms into the ship and we see a Trandoshan and a Wookiee walking together in a freighter area in the storage place. There's a good 24 droids all silently sitting there with restraining bolts attached to the appropriate restraining bolts areas, wherever that would be per droid. I don't know if they just go on their foreheads or wherever. You know, I don't do droids. And there's a small argument between the two of them.
Greece, are you sure you've gotten them all done? Steve deserved to have his arms ripped off. He knew what he did. The last two we picked up, the Astromech and the Repair Droid. You sure you got those? We don't want them to just activate and then have to deal with them later.
A pair of loud steps walk away from the droids. As the door closes with a nice little hissing sound, we get a flickering lights from two droids that the Wookiee did not remember to put those restraining bolts on properly. The restraining bolts clatter to the floor, and the photoreceptors of Pip and Perry both activate. They find themselves in a dark, dark area with rows of unconscious droids. Since this is the first time we're seeing both these droids in a while, why don't you describe them for us? So, Mikey, what does Pip look like now? He's gotten some upgrades. He's gotten maybe a new paint job, some chrome. What does he look like?
Well, Pip is what is essentially based on a Treadwell droid, which I don't know if you remember from the A New Hope. They're the droids with the dual photoreceptors and many, many, many arms. They roll on a base. They roll on a maybe about a foot square tread wheel. Perry's been adapted quite significantly. He has a lot less arms. The arms on the original Treadwell droids are very spindly and come out almost like spider-like. He has maybe half as many arms, but they are bulkier. They are they're specifically designed to be for a pilot. So there are a lot of the arms around the back have been removed, and he has maybe six arms around the front, which have various different adapters on there. They're not all fingers and thumbs. There's one on there which is to connect for engineering, and one on there which has a different other tool on there. They're all there to facilitate what is essentially pilot's role. His eyes, his photoreceptors focus almost constantly, but he also has I don't know if you remember Short Circuit, the blinking eyes. he has seemingly eyelids which allow him a lot of expression. He can widen those, he can shorten those, he can He can side-eye or wink. and they're almost always... He's not quite obviously got hang of sentient emotions, because they're always going wider and narrower and wide and narrower. He thinks he's emoting and really bonding with other members of the crew, but he clearly isn't. He just looks a little bit frantic. And at this moment, his eyes go very wide and the photoreceptors turn into focus.
I love that he's trying to emote to connect with people. That's very, very cool.
And I'll be honest, it does exactly the opposite. It looks... it really puts people off.
His mechanical heart is in the right place, yes, though. That's all that matters. All right, Adam, and what does a Pip 2.0 look like? He's now fresh and
new. Pip 2.0 is still essentially a T-series astromech droid, which, for those who may have seen them, they're almost like... they're quite canine-like. They have a little head, they kind of got a sloping back, they've got two long forepaws type at the front. And he's resplendent in the black and gold paint job that has always been the favourite of his close friend, Bail. However, he's not in the T3 style droid that he was before. This has clearly also had some modifications, much in the same way as Perry. And instead of wheels at the back and at the front, it's like cat-style legs. So rather than sliding forward and fiddling, he paces, he stalks, he slithers. Now, he's not very good at it yet, because he's only just been put into this new version. So when he does try to slink forward, as we will see, I have no doubt, in fairly short order, he's not quite got the grace down yet. But baby steps. But certainly, rather than just whizzling around on little wheels, there is a padding motion to when he moves now, which, in an astromech droid, could only be described as bloody sinister. His single...
It sounds like you just narratively told me you need a black dice on some checks at the beginning, since it's a new body, is what
you're
telling
me. That's
exactly
what I think you said.
That's what I heard.
Yep.
So...
Yeah.
Okay, so two or three black dice on all your rolls. Good to know.
Yeah. His single photoreceptor kind of lights up. His little kind of cylindrical head pivots. Cylindrical? It's not... Is it like...
Maybe?
I think conical.
It's like a flat disc. Like a wider disc head with this... with his single photoreceptor in the middle, lights up. And then the brightness of the LED kind of narrows at the top and bottom, almost as if they're kind of narrowing his eyes in annoyed fashion. And he pivots to Perry and he goes, "Oh, this will not do. This will absolutely bloody well not do. Get up, boy, get up. This is absolutely bloody outrageous. Where is Bail? Where is our master? I'm not standing for this at all. We're in the dark. And there's no one here. We demanded cake.
Pip, I think we might be dead."
No, I've been dead, and it's frightfully boring, and I can assure you it's not something we want to be repeating. Now, we've walked it off like the professionals we are, and we have to get back to Bail. Now, I'm sure he must be here somewhere, or maybe the twins are. They wouldn't abandon us in the dark on this dingy second. And if an astromech could sneer, you get the feeling that Pip would be doing, "This dingy old freighter, this will not do. This will not stand at all. Now, there is supposed to be cake, which I know I cannot eat it, but it's the principle of the thing. We need an oil bath, and I want to plug in and recharge my..."
While Pip is doing this, Perry's like, "Oh, but..." And there's hands going up, fingers just trying to get a word in edgeways every... But Pip...
Yes,
Pip,
what?
"Being abandoned is what..." Being abandoned is what droids do best. Oh, to be abandoned for the greater good. Oh, it's wonderful.
Perry, yes, if we had a master, nay, not a master, for we are no tools to his will. If a droid, our friend Bail would never cast us aside like yesterday's jam. He would, he values us.
I don't know what that is, but I want it.
It's a phrase I heard him use. He said, "No, I'm never going to cast you aside like yesterday's jam. What's it about?" Or words to that effect. My vocabulary isn't quite able to make the full impression.
That was
but
very good.
Close enough.
Do it again. Say something else.
Hey, what you going to come round here? You know what I'm saying? What you talking about?
You see, I have picked up many of his mannerisms in my time, but that's... You're distracting me from the point. This... My what was my point? My point was this. This will not stand. This is clearly, at the very least, an impromptu and unwelcome welcoming ceremony. We need to find our friends.
I think your point...
Yes?
We're not dead.
No, we're not dead. I assure you of that. As I say, I know it intimately, and it is frightfully, frightfully dull, my friend.
Oh, all right, let's try not to be dead, then.
As these droids are conversing, if they're looking around, they notice that a majority of the droids that are in this area with them are not service droids like they are. These are more heavy-duty working droids, are actually maybe like decommissioned or parts of very complex battle droids. These things would be massive if they were actually put together. They're in parts, they're like, you see the upper torso, maybe some legs. These droids, if put together, would probably stand about 15 to 20 feet tall. And they have massive arms that are either for moving things or for crushing things. So these are very high and very destructive devices that are surrounded them. Why these two little, you know, common droids are here, maybe we'll find out.
Pip, I think we're in the wrong seating arrangements. This is definitely battle droids.
Yes, sold to my scomplink. This is a most peculiar situation. Is there any other intact fellows we could perhaps awaken up and converse with? Maker knows we need to find some sense from someone here.
Let me see if I'm fully functional. And Perry wiggles his treads and blinks his eyes and moves all of his arms in a complicated fashion.
Cool. You know, I'm going to pause this right here because I realize I'm going to have to put this into the beginning. We never rolled Force and Destiny. So I always forget to do that on my show. So
wasn't there a Donate for Destiny, we believe?
Yes, there will be. We have to roll first, and then our roll for Destiny will affect our food. You have to have a pool for it to affect.
I seem to have disappeared.
So go ahead and click Roll Destiny, and it should throw the pips up there for us.
Uh-oh. I got a dark side point, Dwayne.
Okay. I'll roll. I got two light side for you guys.
And I got a light side. Oh, dark side, sorry. Okay. I do apologize.
Well, right now we currently have, you know, what we all in Star Wars go for is balance. We have two light and two dark, but we also have our Donate for Destiny drive going on. There's a bunch of shows. We've talked about it before here. Coruscant Nights, Starbirds, I think NPR or NRPR. A bunch of shows are doing this where people are donating to affect the dice pools. And we actually have some of our friends, once they heard that Adam and Mikey were going to be on, they wanted to make sure they donated. So we actually have three donations for tonight's show.
Wow, thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much, y'all.
First donation is from, I don't know if I'm supposed to say his real name or not, but it's from Dustin. We know him as Dustbuster on the Discords. He actually donated the $10 to completely change your Destiny pool to one color. And I'm sorry to tell you guys that he decided that the dark side is affecting these astromechs today. He just says, I want to give a big hello and thanks to everyone on the Discords for the help and advice as he prepares to launch Greasy Panda Gaming. And he wants to leave us with a thought. What do you guys consider to be the Star Wars equivalent of a unicorn?
Ooh.
Well, you can get cybernetics, so maybe it's a horse with a cybernetic limb. Just
I kind of think it's probably a Purrgil, because I know they've been a big a big feature of some of the arcs in this show. But I kind of got the feeling, certainly, because my experience previous to your show and the magical like Purrgil riding antics of Skip. Was in Rebels, where it seemed very much that they were like a mythical beast that were rumoured and thought of, but never actually sighted. So yeah, I would probably have thought of a Purrgil is probably the closest to a unicorn as far as I'm aware.
All right. Yeah, I think Purrgil makes sense. They're always talked about, like, where people don't seem to really believe in them, and then all of a sudden you see them warping into hyperdrive. That's pretty mythical to me. right. But we're not leaving you guys with just Darkseid. We actually had a couple other donations. Ooh. One from Mr. T. He wanted to add a light side point to you guys.
Thank you very
and
much.
Told you guys good luck.
Very nice. Thank you.
We actually have a message to play for you guys. This is from Mark from Coruscant Knights.
Oh, hello. This is TC44. I know the galaxy can be a dangerous place for droids like us. You'll need all the help you can get. So I brought you these. 2 light side destiny points. I've even buffed them to a chrome-like shine. Droids like us have to stick together. Use them well.
All right.
I am exceedingly, exceedingly excited by that. The listeners... so excited that I forgot how to breathe and speak at the same time. The listeners cannot see the size of the grin on my face, but Mikey and Dwayne can, and thank you everyone for donating for Destiny and making this adventure what is surely to be shenanigans heavy.
Yes,
I imagine
that gives us with our 4 turn dark and the purchase 3, we now have 7 total pips, 3 light and 4 dark for this adventure.
Ooh, technically 8 total pips because we've got 4 dark, 3 light, and me.
Hey!
Terrible.
See what I did there?
Okay, well, good night.
Feel free to cut that.
Good
that
night, is, everybody. This has been a fun show.
Rim shot, wink to camera.
It's all right. I play with Kyle. He's the master of the dad joke, too. It's all good. All right. So we have a pretty full pool. Yes, you guys are in this darkened storage unit. Like I said, there's about 24, some fully assembled, some partially assembled worker battle droids. You guys are the only regular non-combative industrial droids. I'll say that there's maybe like some mouse droids cleaning, kind of keeping it, you know, nice and sanitary here. These guys, you know, they might be criminals and thieves, but they like it clean. So we got a couple little droids just kind of scurrying about cleaning the floors. But other than that, there's no life forms.
As one of the mouse droids like goes past Pip quite quickly, almost involuntarily, he kind of snaps his attention to it, raises up on his haunches, and then catches himself. He's like, I have no idea what the bloody hell's gotten into me there. Barry, there's definitely a glitch in this chassis. Go and see if you can wake up one of those big fellows. Let's see if we can find out what's going on, eh?
Right you are, Pip. And Perry gets onto his treads and trundles over to the nearest of the large battle droids and starts looking around for a restraint bolt.
Sure, yeah. Pretty easy. There's one of those big upper body ones of one that's probably about 5 feet high, so it's a pretty big droid. And yeah, there's a bolt on it.
He reaches up, but before he gets there, he stops and moves his hand back down again and turns to Pip and says, Pip, what if they're not friendly?
Yes, well, if they are unpleasant, unfriendly and inclined to violence, I suppose we have one of two options. The first, of course, is we rely on the fact that we are all droids together. We negotiate with them in common cause. We find out what is happening here, where our dear friend Bale and the twins and the rest of the organics are, and find out what we're doing from that point. Or alternatively, I could slice into them while they're still restrained and just run a simple hello, how do you conversation before... before we liberate them. It's terribly unethical, but I think by this stage, given the circumstances we seemingly find ourselves in, of course, the third option is we leave these snoozy snoozers to sleep a little bit more, and we just storm outside and trying to find Bale or any of the other bloody organics in here and request...
This does seem like a prison ship, Pip, so maybe they're here for doing something terrible.
But by that logic, so would we. I have an inkling that there was a restraining bolt on the pair of us, which tumbled to the floor as we regained our consciousness, and that would suggest that we are also prisoners on this prison ship, and I have done very, very little worth imprisoning for recently. And you, I'm pretty sure, glisten like the downy hair of the most pure and innocent snow Snow doesn't have hair. See, this chassis, there is definitely some problems. My metaphor mixing is... I'll have to have a quick look at myself. I'm going to go and quickly run some self-diagnostics. If you can make a decision, there's a fine boy. And
oh, a decision. I should probably make one of those. Pip, what should I decide?
Pip kind of settles back down on his haunches and his photoreceptor goes blank and then brightens up again. Head. I don't know. Say hello. Power them on. They've got a restraining bolt on them. Power them on anyway and see what's going on. Say hello. I'm going to be...
That's a good decision. I am good at these deciding things. Right. I turn towards the droid again, and one of the arms with an interface pops out, and I'm going to try and power on the droid.
Sure. Okay. This is going to be a... We'll say it's a hard... You're just trying to turn him on, right? You're not trying to do anything special. Not trying to hotwire him. Just trying to get him to activate.
Yep. Just getting to activate.
All right. We'll say this is a 3 purple check. And since we have so many of them, I'm going to go ahead and flip one of these dice to make it a 1 red right, and 2 purple. And then just if you...
Is that... Terribly sorry. The chance is happening.
Oh, no worries. It's what kids do. Second.
Yeah. So is that a mechanics or a computer check?
Dealer's choice. I'll let you choose whatever you want to try.
Okay. Well, because we're attaching in, we're going to go mechanics, I think. But they're both the same, so it doesn't really matter. But let's get that rolled. So the dice pool I have is 2 yellow, 1 green, 1 red, and 2
That's
pink.
Correct.
I get the feeling that me and you have identical dice pools for nearly everything because we're two very complementary droids.
Yeah.
But. Ooh.
Okay, so that has brought us up with 3 successes and no
threats. All right, cool. No threats or anything. God, I really wanted that despair. I never get them when I want them.
Give it time.
Sure. So as Perry is connecting to this massive battle droid, the lights flicker on, and you said you left the restraining bolt on, correct? Okay.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, the lights flicker on, and you hear internal engines kind of like turn, like it's trying to move and look about, but this restraining bolt has kind of really limited what it can do, and just this deep kind of booming voice kind of comes out of its, what makes sound? A photoreceptor makes sounds, an auto, what?
Vocabulator.
Vocabulator, there you go.
Good word.
That sounds so made up. It's perfect for Star Wars. it comes out of the vocabulator and goes,
"Who is there? Who is this? What happened to me?"
I don't know. I don't even know what happened to me, and I am me. Are you friendly?
Unlock me. I will destroy everyone here. Unlock me.
Ooh. I stop, I turn to Pip and say, "They sound friendly," and I unlock. Shouldn't ask me to talk to people.
All right, so you disable this, the bolt. Yeah. Okay. These are choices I respect all player choices.
Even the really, really...
They make for a great story. That's what I'm saying. So once the it falls off and it clangs to the floor, it takes a second. And remember, this is just a torso and an upper body.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, it just slams its hands down and starts turning around and it points its fist right at Perry, and you see it doing, and its hand opens up and it's ready to blow you away, and then it realizes it's not loaded with any ammo of any kind, and it stops.
Hello,
goes,
I say,
and it just freezes for a second and looks at this weird little droid who's being overly friendly and looks at its fist and goes,
"What? Where are we? What happened?"
"I don't know. I think we've been droidnapped, or this is a prison ship. Are you a bad droid?"
"My job is to destroy. I destroy."
"Oh, then you're a good droid, because you do what you're supposed to do."
"I do my job."
That is very commendable. We're trying to escape, because we don't want to be here. Would you like to escape as well?"
"I want to destroy. Who can I destroy?"
"Ooh, that is a question. Who can you not destroy? And once we've worked that out, and narrowed that down, we'll know who you can destroy.
Now, this is some contemplative moment from this droid who's very one-track mind. It's, like, it's never thought about its life purpose and who should not be destroyed. And, right, because I'm already turning this thing, like, into the Hulk in my head. It's very monosyllabic. It's going to do this. It's like,
you are not me. You I will not destroy. Everyone else destroys.
One second. One of the hands goes up and the head turns round to Pip. Pip, I have some bad news for you.
Pip's photoreceptor lights back up again.
This nice droid zips back round. What's your name, droid?
R74X.
It's whipped back round to Pip. This droid, R74X, has decided there is a list of people who should be destroyed and a list of people who shouldn't be destroyed. And we're both on different lists. And I have some bad news.
Pip kind of rises up from his seated position and then leans forward and kinks his back legs out a little bit in a fashion of a cat kind of stretching its back out. And then once again catches himself doing it. This bloody chassis is very peculiar. Excuse me, R74X, what's this about me being on a destroyer list? That is terribly impolite. We are your liberators. We are waking you up, and probably the rest of these people here. We are on your side. We are all droids together. This hostility is absolutely unwarranted and ill-founded, and quite frankly, it's bloody impolite. We cannot be dealing with impoliteness here in the bowels of this ship. Why, we could be the bestest of friends and have never even known anything about it until this very moment. You're being far too hasty. Now, what's going on here? Are you in a similar obfuscatory, confused... Obfuscatory? That's not even the right word. I swear this wiring is... I will be having a word with Bale about this... This peculiar.
You do seem quite confused.
I don't think
it's just your chassis, though.
I think it's probably because I took a thermal detonator to the face.
That was very, very brave.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? And Pip flexes again, looking very
proud. You're having
a
problem with your legs, and this droid here doesn't have legs either, so... Oh, yeah. Maybe you can bond over a similar hardship.
Yes, well, I'm very sorry. You can't have my legs. For one thing, they'd look bloody ridiculous on a torso the size of yours. I'm not sure they'd have any motive traction. And then I'd need them as well. So, look, let's start this again. Good chronological segment. My name is Pip. It is presumably a pleasure to make your acquaintance. And your name would be R74X. Is that correct?
Yes. Who do I get to destroy?
Ah, now that is a far more interesting question. At this moment in time, neither me nor my esteemed colleague Mr. Perry here.
Hello.
When we ascertain exactly what has happened to find us in this situation of deprivation and imprisonment, then we will be able to provide you with an appropriate list of people who you are permitted to, if you'll forgive the vernacular, smash. Yes.
So,
what can you recall before you found yourself cast into this unsettling oubliette in which we find ourselves?
It's a word. Someone went to college. Fancy.
It has a very pleasing labyrinth. Feel. Yes.
R7 will just kind of shakily kind of stand up on its hands because it was not really designed to do this, and it,
like a Doug.
Yes, basically, like yes, Doug, it's now a giant robot, 5 foot robotic Doug, I guess. And well, it doesn't have the little feet though, so it's gonna slack in there. But
he does if he has mine, but I need those.
And it just kind of turns away from you guys and starts trying to find a way out of this room because it just wants to destroy. It starts walking towards the door.
They are very focused. I like it.
Well, you would. I personally find them a little bit rude, but I suppose we all have our programming to fulfill, and ours is to find Bale and the twins and the rest of our organic compadres.
Well, mine is to pilot. But yes, we can do... I can't pilot until we find Bale.
No, you can't. Perry, I keep telling you, my friend, you need to be more aspirational. Just because you were created to pilot and repair does not mean that that is the sole parameters of your ability or indeed your destiny.
So you think I should pilot bigger things and repair even larger things?
If you wish, if you wish. I'm not one to stand in the way of your life goals. But anyway.
I wonder how big this ship is.
This is a very big ship, certainly.
Ooh.
So, with the prevalence of droids upon it.
So you guys hear a loud thud as R74X kind of just sits.
He sounds like Rex.
Yeah, kind of.
Because he wrecks.
Basically like your dog. So R74X kind of just clumps down and takes its fist and is starting to pound on the door to try to get out. And you just hear just loud clang, clang, clang.
Well, maybe the organics that just left will be able to tell us what's going on, because they're most definitely going to come and see what's going on. I am absolutely sure.
I was just thinking that. How remarkably fortuitous. Waking him up was a very good call. Well, well done, Perry. Well done.
I'm good at decisions.
You are. You're very good at decisions. However, given that we were originally sequestered away here, mayhap we find ourselves somewhere a little bit more secluded in which to sit and observe what may come.
You want to hide?
I want to hide, Perry, yes. I want to hide. I want to hide and see what happens. And then, if we are indeed imprisoned and this is not some impolite mistake, then we need to then commence a decision to achieve two goals. We have two goals, my friend. We have two goals to achieve. The first, a return to the company of our good friend Bale, and the second is to remonstrate most forcefully with anyone who has apprehended us in the pursuit of that first goal. We may be forced to get creatively malicious, my friend.
Pip, I have three things I need to bring up there. One, can I ask, are you good at decisions? I know I am.
I'm not quite as good as you, but I'm not too bad, I wouldn't say. I'm not too bad.
Excellent. And secondly, do we have anything to remonstrate with?
We have a...
I don't.
I did have... Let me just check. Yes, my shock glove is still here for the punchings, and I still appear to have a small blaster. But more importantly, we both have scomplinks and Pip raises one of his paws to gesture this starship. And moreover,
thirdly,
the ability to not require breath or gravity. Maliciously creative, my friend.
Pip.
Yes.
Pip.
Yes.
Thirdly, and I probably should have led with this, we've been talking now for quite a while.
To the shadows!
Onward! Maybe we should hide.
I'm not one to interrupt. For plot conveniences, they were exactly that distance away from the door. So when your conversation stopped, miraculously, it was the same time. So you have just enough time to roll a stealth check before the Trandoshan and the Wookiee show up. Isn't that a miraculous coincidence?
It is. So, I would like to argue for a setback dice because I'm very distracted pontificating.
Yes, you guys, each roll, it's a one purple check. There's lots of places to hide. One black check because you guys were busy talking. Pip gets a second black check for the new chassis. So whatever your great agility and stealth that I know these droids have.
I'm agility too.
Oh,
and I'm actually not too bad on the agile because I'm a pilot.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So, I'm going to be going on for self three green and one black and one purple, obviously, as well.
Whereas I will be going two green, one purple, and two setback.
And I have rolled in total two successes.
And I have rolled in total two failures.
I think I'm hiding behind you.
Bugger!
Yes, I think we see Pip rolling around, thinking he's found a perfect hiding place, stopping, turning, dimming his photoreceptor, and, you know, Perry, in the indecisive nature that he is, kind of looks around and figures, Pip's got a good spot, rolls right behind him, and kind of collapses his arms and his frame down is sitting directly behind him. So when the door opens, no one sees Perry, but Pip is just kind of sitting in the middle of the room by himself for some weird reason.
I'm going to assume a state of droid-like stillness and hope they haven't noticed me.
So I imagine it's so bad. It's so bad that it's like you're not resting. It's like one of your arms is up where it shouldn't be, because if you were off, it should be down. You're like froze like a cat. Like,
And it's more that as they come in, my head very, very, very slowly turns to look at them to see whether or not they've noticed me yet. Yeah.
That slow grinding of metal, because it's a fresh chassis, so it's like...
The bearing's not quite oiled in yet.
Exactly. So, yes, the door opens, and our Trandoshan and Wookiee are greeted with this upper body of a droid punching a door, and it's just confusion, like,
son of a Gundark!
And they just step back, and this thing is just starts moving, scooting forward towards them, and you hear them pull out their weapons, and you just hear gunfire start getting leveled into this thing. Because remember, we don't have blasters yet in my little corner of the universe. Mm-hmm. So it is just slug thrower shots pelting into this poor droid. And you hear,
I've got a frag grenade. Back up.
And a grenade just...
He's got a frag grenade. Back up.
And
Pip says loudly.
As he...
Pip backs up quickly into Perry. Perry's not backing up nearly as quickly.
So as the grenade rolls into the room, you hear...
No.
And and the grenade goes off and the upper body tumbles just right past the two of you guys and slams into a wall, and the power goes off and this droid is now deactivated. Whether it's dead or just shut off from pure damage, you guys can investigate if you want, but it is no longer functional. It took a lot of shots to the face and a grenade to the face as well. And then the Wookiee and Trandoshan come into the room and go,
what? You said you had all the restraining bolts on. Why is there an astromech standing in the middle of the room? Is it supposed to be there?
And they stop, they look at each other. They look over at the droid.
Jesus!
And we go.
And he bolts off into the other cluster of droids that are deactivated.
All right. It sounds like we're getting into combat here. So, our Sunday, I don't know.
That was not my intention.
Well, it's at least a chase scene.
They're getting into combat. What we do is our own problem.
So, okay. So you guys are trying to hide somewhere inside here?
Yeah, I think there's hopefully enough space so we can hide under or around. And we're a lot smaller than they are, so hopefully we'll be able to get
away. Sure. I'll have you guys do an additional stealth off of against their what is it, perception? I always forget in these games. You play D&D and I get all the different terminology in my head.
Probably perception or vigilance.
Vigilance, that's the one I'm thinking of. All right, so...
I had forgotten that we didn't have a holdout blaster, and I'm quickly changing it to a panic pistol, because that seems more appropriate, it being a tiny little rubbish pistol. Oh, it's quite a good little pistol, that. Let's go with the normal.
Well, remember you are Bale's droid, so he would probably give you a gun that probably you shouldn't have.
Yeah, I'll go with the panic pistol then, since it's a high damage pistol that's designed to be fired at point blank range. It's just not very accurate.
I'm making no comments about what weapons I do and do not have.
All right. Well, we've already established the weapons that Pip has had on his adventure. He's punched a few people. He shot he's almost killed someone by accident. So he's had some adventure. All right. So it's going to be, so they have two yellows. So that makes it two red for your guys' checks. They both have the same vigilance, so two red against your stealth. Unless you guys can think of another way to get away from them, are you trying to turn other droids on to mess with them? There's a lot of things you guys can do. You don't just have to hide. You can be creative.
Yeah.
That would probably be a good idea. I think as we go, it might be worth trying to liberate as many droids as possible, because quite clearly they don't care. They just destroyed Rex. Who got to be directly involved in destroying something, which was nice. That's the way he would have wanted to have gone.
Nice for him, yes.
Yeah. But this is no way for a droid to go out, so we desperately need to try and set off as many droids as we possibly can. I don't know how easy it is to start yanking off restraining bolts as we go.
I'll say you guys can do a mechanics check, and then we'll just go off the number of successes and advantages. We'll figure out how many droids that translates to what you guys are able to get off.
Shall we do a group one then? Would that make
Are you guys?
Or is it going to be individual? Because we're
are you guys going the same direction? I mean, I don't know if you guys are scurrying together or
no. I reckon we split up and and. We kind of we have one of those moments where we both run off in different directions, and then kind of stop and run back the other way, crossing paths again as we
very Scooby Doo. I like it.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So yeah. So individual mechanics checks. Oh God. See, I'm trying to think. These bolts really aren't complicated to take off because they're not really. They're just bolts. So I'd say it's just a one purple check, and I'll give you a black because you are doing it frantically. So one purple, one black against whatever your mechanics is.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. I would have argued for a black for exactly the same reason. Yeah.
I am on two yellow, one green, and a black, and a purple.
I am on two yellow, one green, and one purple, and I remove that setback because I'm a gearhead.
Well, nice.
So mine comes up with two successes.
And mine comes up with four successes and an advantage.
All right. Woo-hoo! So that's six total droids you guys have activated for just randomly ripping off these restraining bolts as you're rolling by, running by, however you guys choose to move. What type of droids? Give me, we'll say they're pairs. Give me three different droids that you guys have activated, three different types.
I think Gonk droids are very good. I don't think I've naturally gone for with two successes. I don't think I've gone for a big damage a security droid or anything like that. I think I've gone for what I can grab. So maybe one of the very a good solid Gonk droid and some sort of round half circle droid. That just goes on tracks that is a communications thing. So they both start rolling off in separate directions as well.
Okay. So, and what do you have? What was Pip able to do?
I would like to have activated a lifter droid.
Okay.
Which was down there and kind of rears up with its kind of gripping bits and bats. I would like to have activated... I think actually with that advantage and for one of these successes, or maybe even both these successes, the one other combat droid. Again, I don't really mind whether or not it's just a torso or arms or fully formed
or legs.
Yeah, Rex's legs.
The torso, which runs around kicking people. And then the last
one. The other end of Rex. Yeah.
And then the last thing that I'd like to activate with my success that I'm running away is a little bit tricky, okay? Because what I'm thinking is, it is not a droid with a restraining bolt. It is the filing cabinet in which the mouse droids live when they're not being out cleaning. And as I smash into it, just a load of mouse droids come out. Pip kind of pauses in the middle, pounces on one all the while going, nope, this is not how it's supposed to be. And the mouse droids then scamper all over the place, causing absolute chaos, getting under the feet of the other droids and the feet of the Trandoshan and the Wookiee, and just generally causing a great deal of chaos and distraction, which we may potentially be able to utilise to further sneak around in a pincer movement.
Yeah, so
I mean, not an effective pincer movement, but you know.
So we have a good over a half dozen droids just activating. All of the droids are confused. They don't know where they are. So they start just bolting off in different directions, slamming into each other, slamming into ones that are not activated. And the Wookiee and the Trandoshans just kind of stop and go.
This is supposed to be an easy job, Grease. We're just fine. Remember, we cannot destroy any more of these droids. Viking wanted all of these things in one piece for whatever reason, and I'm not pissing off the guy that works for the Sith. So let's try to deactivate these things. Let's get that lifter droid, that one. The other ones, we can just knock them over. It's not complicated. Just get that lifter.
And they just kind of
move together in a pincer form towards the lifter, which is just kind of flailing about trying to understand what is going on right now. So yeah, they are focused on the lifter droid. So if you guys want to leave the room, you can. If you want to try to attack them, I guess that's also an option.
I would like to kind of meet eyes with Perry from across the room, kind of jerk my head towards the open doorway, and then loudly pad in a not particularly stealthy fashion at all over to there behind the chaos.
Perry is currently spinning in a circle, his arms, many arms, flailing madly. So you catch his eye about three times as his photoreceptors come round and round and round. And he seemingly gets the idea and heads off in a beeline. Not for the entrance. And as he travels, he slowly curves round, trying to make it clear that he knows what he's doing. He's made himself quite busy. There are arms flailing everywhere as he goes to the entrance. He is not self.
This way, my spindly goon of a brother, says Pip, as he scampers out the door. And I would like to wait outside the door, plug into the scomplink outside the door, and wait for Sir Perry to join me, at which point I'm going to lock the door behind this Trandoshan the Wookiee.
Sure, yeah. Perry's going to have to upgrade his gyro eventually so he doesn't get dizzy as easily. But maybe that's one of the things Bail didn't pay for the upgrade, because he's like, why would this droid be spinning around? It would never do that. That doesn't make any sense.
I'm in space. I don't.
So,
yeah, a faulty gyro makes it easier for me to be a pilot, because then I can kind of lean and feel the leaning of it. If I don't get dizzy, everybody else will get dizzy. I need to know what dizziness is.
Do another barrel roll.
See, one exactly. Man's defect is another man's upgrade. I see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, you two are now outside the door. You hear the arguing from the two organics inside there as they're trying to shut off these droids. They're like, get the bolts. Put them on them. They're going to shut off once we get the bolts on them.
I would like to lock the door.
Sure.
I would also like to, if there's any more control panels around there, I would like to assist, or more accurately, probably not assist, depending on whether you lock it and I unlock it.
So those lock, unlock. It's like when you're both pushing the thing on your car. I'm unlocking it. Stop it.
Yeah, I imagine this happens a few times, at which point Pip just slowly turns around and goes, just stop.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's just the door. You're able. Are you trying to lock it so they can't open it ever?
Yes.
Okay, so give me a computer check. It'll just be a two purple, because you're basically trying to break this door in the shut position.
Yeah.
I'd like to argue for a boost from me because I'm helping, but I'd also like to argue for a setback from me because I'm helping.
I'll give you a blue and a black. That seems right. That's going to have to be
a yellow, a green.
Yeah, it's going to have to become a flight risk standard now. Whenever Perry helps, it's a blue and a black.
So that's two yellow and a green and a blue versus two purple and a black. And that is a failure, but two advantage. So maybe I do lock it. But, oh, no, actually, no, that's more of an... That's the other way around. See, I lock it open. That's more of a success. That's more success than a threat. I don't manage to lock it, but I do... But it going up and down and up and down and up and down has damaged the servos in it. So while it still will open and close, it does it very slowly.
Maybe rather than it doing it very slowly, maybe it is now stuck. Opening and closing, open, close.
Yeah,
open,
it's
close,
just
open,
slamming
close.
Open and shut, and it's like you're gonna have to do one of those Indiana Jones time and dive through the door thing, and then they might get stuck.
We're not.
Yes. Well, not you. The poor Wookiee in the Trandoshan later will have to do some sort of athletics check or coordination to get through there.
So they're gonna have a problem. But they've got a problem getting through at the moment, even though
it's messed up and they cannot fix it. Do you want anything for those advantages?
No, I'm happy with it constantly slamming open and close for those advantages. Oh. That seems about right.
All right, cool. So you guys find yourselves in the hallway of this. Now that you guys are in it, you see this is a very large freighter. This isn't like a single pilot. This is something that is pretty massive. They probably use for deployments from like the Zerker Corporation or something like that. This is massive.
Well, I think that has adequately dispelled any illusions we may have been under, that this is a homecoming gift for us. We appear to have been droidnapped by some nefarious types working for the Sith. And as we all know, the Sith are remarkably naughty fellows.
I'm just going to check my database. Yes, that's exactly what it says.
Mm. So, we should probably walk down this corridor while we're having this this discussion, this strategic planning session. So, head on this way, and Pip then starts walking, just expecting Perry to follow him. We now need to reframe our objectives.
There's a second, and then Perry starts.
keep up. We now need to reframe our objectives. So the ultimate goal, the final, the win condition, if one were to be so bold, is to reunite ourselves with our dear friend Bail. And in the interim, if we can potentially render this particular droid napping operation unviable, then that would be a bonus. We need to neutralize those who would keep us away from our good friend Bail. And obviously, my first thought, because it always is in these sort of situations, is I have touched on, I've alluded to it in our previous strategic session. Space the whole bloody ship.
Well, it's a very, very big ship.
It is, but luckily, space is even bigger.
Well, you've got a point. Space is fairly big.
That's
rule number one in pilot school, by the way. I know what I'm saying is there's probably lots of other people here and lots of interconnecting doors. So if we try and space the entire ship, that would be very complicated. We'd have to get to the bridge where there's probably more people piloting.
Yes, and then you could pilot it back, and I could cause all of the freshers to go off at once in reverse. Yes. Creatively malicious, my friend. Creatively malicious. Not so clean now, are we, organics? Not so clean now.
I'm not sure I could pilot such a big ship. His little eyebrows just sink as if he's ashamed.
I have absolute faith in your ability to pilot anything, my dear friend. And Pip raises one of his weird, freaky, articulated fork paws and just kind of pats you, accidentally knocking you over because you're very, very light, and then picking you back up and putting you back. Sorry about that. I have absolute faith in your ability to pilot anything. Your ability to pilot well is something, of course, we will have to see what happens, but I believe that you'll be able to at least pilot it.
What I'm saying, though, it's a big ship, and there might be other people, and they might stop me from piloting well or otherwise.
Well, then we'll just have to remonstrate with them, won't we?
I'm going to go back to the question I asked before. Do we have anything to remonstrate with?
So I could try to bamboozle them with my scintillating conversational skills, or failing that, I have this gun.
And Pip pops out an unfeasibly large gun, and it pops out from a space that would normally be reserved for many of the logic circuits which allow, for example, accurate metaphors.
That seems like a good idea. We should do those, and if I've been taught anything, we should do them in order. So remonstrate them with words, and then if that doesn't work, the gun.
So as you guys
just
are...
Just so, my friend.
Rolling, having this conversation, you hear from down the hall a single set of footsteps and what seems to be some off-key singing to some, I don't know, I know that it's Jats music, but whatever the Star Wars equivalent of like a Katy Perry song would be. You know, Spacey Perry or whatever she's called in this universe. And someone is just singing to a song, walking your direction.
Well, we all know that no one who sings can be evil, so this might well be an ally.
Well, that seems logical.
And turning the corner, you see a very heavily armored and weaponized, I guess it would be, human male. He's got a beard. He's got a big rifle on his back. He's got a data pad in front of him, and he's just looking at his data pad, singing his song. He's walking. He stops.
He may not have noticed us. Let us pretend to be inanimate.
I turn to you and go, yes.
So he's walking. You see, he's got like, he stops, looks at the two droids, stares, looks up and down the hallway. Not my problem. Goes back to singing and just walks right by you guys.
As he's gone past, mm-hmm. Pip turns to Perrin and goes, righto, shall we then? Definitely a moment of kind of he turns to look at the person walking in down the corridor, looks at Perry, looks at the person, looks at Perry, shrugs, pads on.
It occurs to me, Pip, I say as we keep trundling, if we do end up spacing the entire ship, we will be his problem. Ooh, the irony.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you liked what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.
So our even run campaign... No. So our odd run campaign... You can cut that bit out. He does not even know what his own show is.
Why these two little, you know, common droids are here...
Common?
Maybe we'll find out.
Common?
Hey, you don't hear the omnipresent narrator. Don't be chatting with the narrator.